Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Some Zimbabweans say they are being forced by ZANU-PF members to join a million men march for President Robert Mugabe set for tomorrow.
We're surprised to see the leadership of ZANU-PF coming to us saying tomorrow everyone is forced to go to the march.
But ZANU-PF denies that it's forcing people to attend the event.
And divisions rock striking workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe as some of them heed a 24-hour ultimatum to return to work.
Those who are not going back to work are saying we will not go back to work and we will be paid our 50-month salary.
And Zimbabwean women injured while giving birth are urged to seek medical help.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Some striking National Railways of Zimbabwe workers are said to have heeded a 24-hour ultimatum issued by the company last week for them to return to work. Others, however, are continuing with the strike, saying their grievances have not yet been met. The workers have been demanding outstanding salaries backdating to 2015. Kenneth Nemachena, General Secretary of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railwaymen Workers Union, says although the strike is continuing, some workers have decided to return to work in compliance with Labour Minister Priska Mfumira's Shoko's order and the NRZ's ultimatum issued last Thursday. The parastatal said in the notice to return to work that it shall invoke appropriate provisions of the Labour Act, NRZ Code of Conduct, as well as other applicable laws if the workers did not heed the call. Nemachena tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri workers will continue to fight for their rights despite minor setbacks they are currently facing.
The majority haven't returned back to work and they are demanding their 15-month salary. They are adamant about that. Those who have not returned back to work are saying we will not go back to work and we will be paid our 15-month salary. They are saying we would rather better get fired than going back to work because they are saying they don't have the energy to perform any good.
In its notice, the company had said that those who fail to return to work, the company will use the Labour Act, the National Railways of Zimbabwe Code of Conduct, as well as other applicable laws. Has this happened so far?
As of today, from our side, we haven't yet received anybody who has come forward saying I've been charged by the lawyer. So we are still waiting to hear and see whether we are going to be charged.
That was Kenneth Nemachena, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railwaymen Workers Union, on the phone from Bulawayo with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Reacting to these reports, NRZ spokesman Fanuel Masigati refused to shed light on the issue and asked Studio 7 to call him Thursday for an update on the strike. Economist Masimba Kuchera, who is the director of the Center for Disability and Development, says the continued strike by the NRZ workers has a serious impact on the country's economy.
Well, it has a serious impact if it is allowed to continue like this. Remember that it is far much cheaper to transport goods using rail transport rather than either air or road transport. And you can also transport bulk goods using rail transport. So in the long run, the net effect is that the prices of goods and services, especially the goods that come from what is being transported by the railways, is not equipped, eventually go up because the cost then of transport, be it coal or grain, will have rapidly increased if we move from rail to road. And the negative impact is that people will still rely on imports, which means that more cash will be going out of the country because then we'll be importing goods that we can manufacture here, but due to these price distortions and cost disparities, we'll be having to rely on imports. So it means that whatever the governor is trying to do will come to naught, because all the money that he's trying to save by encouraging people to buy locally will eventually go to importing goods that can easily be manufactured here at cheaper cost.
That was Masimba Kuchera, director of the Center for Disability and Development, on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Some Zimbabwean youth are complaining that they are being forced by ZANU-PF members to join a march in Harare tomorrow to show solidarity for President Robert Mugabe at a time when they do not have jobs. Business operators also say they have been allegedly forced by the ruling party youth to close their shops and leave vending bays in honor of veteran leader President Robert Mugabe. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi reports from Zimbabwe's capital Harare. The opposition is calling on the government to address economic and unemployment issues affecting the country.
Some ZANU-PF members are complaining that they are being forced to be part of tomorrow's 1 million men march being organized by the ruling party's youth wing in solidarity with President Mugabe. Eshtungu is a based ZANU-PF activist who requested to be identified only as Chamnorwa, said he is not happy that he and many others in his neighborhood were ordered by his party's leadership to join other ZANU-PF supporters in Harare streets to show support for Mr. Mugabe.
After the march, we are not going to get anything. So we are appealing to our leadership so that they can understand us, so that we can do our jobs at our workplace rather than to go there.
Other Zimbabweans who are not members of the ruling party also expressed the same sentiments. Elliot Munemo, who sells second-hand clothes at the popular Mpezanamo market, said some ZANU-PF youth ordered all traders to close their businesses tomorrow and join the march.
We are not happy. I'm an informal trader in Mpezanamo in Mbari. We're surprised to see the leadership of ZANU-PF coming to us, to our market, saying tomorrow everyone is forced to go to the march. From the markets, that's where we get our monies for food, for our family and rentals. So we are appealing to the leadership not to force people. For anyone who want to go there, must go, not to force anyone to go to the march.
Lokadia Nachi, who sells various items in the central business district, said a group of ZANU-PF youth wearing regalia emblazoned with President Mugabe's picture, raising a clenched fist, ordered all vendors to leave their wares at home tomorrow and participate in the march publicized event, but Nachi said she would not be part of the march. The president announced recently that Zimbabwe lost at least $15 billion in diamond proceeds due to massive leakages in Manikale and Chiyadzwa diamond fields. This has angered Zimbabweans, who are demanding a full-scale investigation into the matter and jobs that were promised by Mr. Mugabe's party before the 2013 general elections. Harare resident Denford Zindoga said most youth do not have jobs, adding that it would be foolhardy for them to march in solidarity with President Mugabe, who has been employed for the last 36 years. Zindoga said he does not want to be dragged into ZANU-PF's factionalism by attending tomorrow's march.
It's about a scenario of ZANU-PF and its few colleagues who are aligned to their function, which is now broadcasted into other people who are innocent in Zimbabwe, is vendors who are suffering and old people who are suffering, who are selling tomatoes in the street, are being forced so that other people would know that Mugabe is a legitimate leader, yet he is not.
Two factions, one allegedly led by First Lady Grace Mugabe and another led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, are said to be fighting for the succession of the president. For his part, President Mugabe has told the world that he would not leave office for as long as he remained sane, or for as long as Zimbabweans continue to re-elect him. Secretary for Policy and Research in the MDCT's youth wing, Caston Mateu, said that instead of ZANU-PF calling on youths to march in solidarity with a 92-year-old leader, the government should fix the economy to ensure that all youths in the country are employed.
It's ridiculous that we have a million people marching in the streets of Harare when the country itself is dying.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo, who was not answering his mobile phone. But Kudzai Chipanga, secretary of the ZANU-PF Youth League, who is organizing tomorrow's march, told Studio 7 by phone that his party has a lot of supporters and has no reason to force anyone to attend tomorrow's event, arguing that they already have the numbers. Chipanga said they are expecting thousands of people from the country's 10 provinces to attend the event and are likely to exceed the 1 million target. President Mugabe is expected to give a keynote address at the event. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Elsewhere, the ZANU-PF Youth League is allegedly forcing schools to hand over buses to party activists who are set to join the so-called Million Men March. Though education officials declined to comment in fear of being victimized, some parents of children attending schools in Chinoy, Mashonaland West Province expressed dismay over the issue, saying they are not obliged to release buses to any political organization. Our correspondent Arthur Shigoriwa reports from Chinoy.
The ZANU-PF Youth League, which wrote a letter recently instructing all public and private schools to provide buses for the Million Men March, allocated locally available buses to various districts without the knowledge of headmasters and the school development associations. One of the schools, Loma Gundi College, has already indicated that they won't provide any transport. The Youth League members are now threatening to take unspecified action against the headmaster. Most school authorities declined to comment on the issue in fear of being victimized. But parents with children attending some schools in the province said they are not happy with what ZANU-PF youth are doing. Tabet Chifamba Usinoya Primary School said she is now expected to pay more money for her grade 5 child since she is funding some ZANU-PF activities.
The problem is that every month I buy ticket for my child. If the buses are going to the meetings, what about those tickets I bought?
Another local parent, Philemon Shoshe, said it is unfair for ZANU-PF to use force to get what it wants from poor people in Machonal and West Province.
It's not a national event, it's a ZANU-PF thing. So it's more like ZANU-PF abusing the power of its incumbency to make sure that their march succeeds.
Chifamba said headmasters are finding themselves in a tight situation and they cannot release the requested buses before getting the green light from parents of school-going children.
The headmaster must tell us that the bus is going. We parents should know in time so that we agree with the arrangements of the bus.
So she added that parents are now expected to pay for fuel costs and the driver's allowances.
It's unfair to the headmasters because they don't have much option. Because ZANU-PF is the party that is in power, so they don't have much option but just to oblige. But it's so unfair to the parents.
But ZANU-PF local youth coordinator Tatenda Chitate said every government ministry should support President Mugabe's leadership by providing all the necessary help to ensure that the Million Men March is a big success.
Every arm of the government should chip in for the program of the president, who is our leader and great statesman.
Provincial Director of the Ministry of Education in Mashonaland West, Sylvester Mashayamombe, confirmed that some of their district offices received a letter from ZANU-PF requesting schools to release buses for the march. Permanent Secretary for Primary and Secondary Education, Dr. S.J. Utete Masango, said his ministry supports any solidarity shown to President Mugabe, and as a result, they ordered all schools to provide buses for the event. Most people say that the march, expected to cost at least $600,000, is a waste of resources. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Meanwhile, ruling party youth who allegedly failed to raise enough money from local people for ferrying about 1,000 ZANU-PF activists from Mutare in Manicaland province to Harare are also said to be forcing schools and colleges to offer them transport, but without the necessary compensation for costs to be incurred. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo filed this report from the provincial capital.
The ZANU-PF Provincial Youth Secretary for Education, Kuzima Dara, said the party is expected to pay for all the transport costs, though most people who were interviewed by Studio 7 indicated that they were forced to provide buses for the Million Men March. The business community has also not been spared, as ruling party youth are moving around with begging bowels for contributions to meet other expenses such as food. Political activist Pishem Shauraya had no kind ways for the organizers of the march.
I think it is a sign that ZANU-PF has lost support and respect. That's why they are now resorting to use of force, to use students to go and support ZANU-PF. They have also lost their bases in the rural areas. That's why they're going in schools and in business people, force marching people to go and support a very old person.
Godwin Stole, a parent with school-going children, said they are worried that they may lose their bus if it breaks down.
If you look at most schools, they cannot resist, the headmaster cannot resist. In most SDAs and SDCs, they are composed of ZANU-PF members, of which they can do whatever they want at the expense of us, the parents who are paying the school fees for that, for the schools. And at the same time, when the Minister of Education said last time that no political party meetings are allowed to be held at any schools in the country, and so what's the difference with having a bus carrying people to a ZANU-PF program?
ZANU-PF Manicaland Provincial Youth Chairperson Mobuso Chinguno dismissed the claims that schools and colleges had been forced to offer them transport. Chinguno said the party had been given transport by well-wishers they had approached, and those unwilling had not helped them. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Loeda Moyo.
In Bulawayo, some youth organizations like the Youth Advocacy for Reform and Democracy, or YAD, say Zimbabweans should join the march to express their dismay over the deteriorating economic situation in the country. YAD National Coordinator Delight Benge says this is a good chance to display placards at the Million Men March, also urging the president to leave office.
It is an opportune time to register displeasure as youths to the authorities that be, giving reverence to the changes afoot. We say youths arise in your hundreds and thousands and be counted. In this nine-partisan march that is guaranteed to be peaceful, as it has been organized by ZANU-PF, we urge you to be bold and raise your voice, calling a spade. We urge the youth at the march to raise their placards, flags, and written material that spell out the displeasure with the lack of economic stability in Zimbabwe. Please kindly remind our president that we have heard enough of this ruthless, insensitive government.
Well, that was Delight Benge of the Youth Advocacy for Reform and Democracy speaking with reporters in Bulawayo. In a statement, the United States Embassy in Harare said today its citizens should avoid some of the areas where ZANU-PF youth are expected to stage the Million Men March. The embassy will be closed on Africa Day tomorrow.
Coming up,
will the bond notes work as efficiently as the bond coins?
And meet one of the most versatile Mandela Washington Fellows, who is a graduate selling vegetables and other wares.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces say an operation is underway to liberate Raqqa, the Syrian de facto capital of Islamic State.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Since introduction in 2014, bond coins have remained pegged at 1:1 with the US dollar, lending credence to the theory of its proponents that the proposed bond notes may work as efficient as the coins. But some economists are skeptical of the introduction of the bond notes with a value pegged against the US dollar because low exports and subdued production of various goods in Zimbabwe. One of the critics of the bond money or coupons, economist Prosper Chitambara, says the notes will not work because the coin's success was based on the need to use small change, not any economic factors.
Well, I think my first observation is that I think it's really a drop in the ocean when you look at the extent of the incentive, the export incentive that's been provided by the Reserve Bank. And also, I think it's something that was not done consultatively. So I think probably the uptake from producers, from exporters may actually be on the low side. There are also a lot of uncertainty as to where the government wants to use this as a way of reintroducing the Zim dollar, in other words, through the bank though. So I think there are a lot of uncertainties that could affect the uptake and also the success of the bond notes. It's a bit too early probably to comment on the successes, but I think there are some of those headwinds that could probably affect its effectiveness.
But looking at the bond coins themselves, which are in circulation, they have been pegged at 1:1 with the US dollar, and they are still pegged at 1:1. What do you make of that?
I think the bond coins, the uptake was very high because it also provided, it sort of provided immediate relief to consumers. The main problem they were dealing with was the issue of the unit of account of money, the issue of change, small change. So I think that's why the bond coin the big success. But I don't think the same can be said of the bond note. And by the way, bond coins are not a medium of international exchange. They are just used in Zimbabwe. So I think probably that the convenience that they brought, I think, provides reasons why they were a success.
But don't you see the same success that the bond coins have translating to the bond notes?
Well, I don't think so. What the government are saying that the bond notes are aimed at providing some sort of an incentive to exporters. But I'm not really sure because it's not the incentive is not much actually. And I don't think that's going to increase our exports quite significantly. I think probably what we needed to do is to come up with measures that limit some of the imports. Well, I think the imports, when you look at our current account balance, I think the major problem is to do with the import side. Our average imports per year are around $7-8 billion. Exports are about $3 or $4 billion. So I think we need to do address probably drastically the import side as opposed to these bond notes aimed at incentivizing exports.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara on the line with Studio 7 from Harare. Zimbabwe's worsening economic collapse is forcing thousands of university and college graduates into street vending. Samuel Wadzai is a typical example. He holds a master's degree in human resource development from the Great Zimbabwe University. Wadzai is one of 60 Zimbabwean youths headed to the U.S. next month under the Mandela Washington Fellowship, and he speaks to reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
I'm so excited about this opportunity. This is one of the best moments in my life, and I know this is going to go a long way in terms of improving my capacities as a leader. I know this is a very prestigious fellowship which each and every one aspires to be part of. So for me to be selected to be part of this fellowship is a great thing to happen in my life, and I would like to say thank you to everyone who is supporting me, everyone who supported me, and I can assure them that I'm not going to disappoint.
Vending is a job that's widely considered as less than fashionable. You are a university graduate, but you are into vending. Why?
We are into vending because there is no employment in Zimbabwe. If you look at the statistics of unemployment in the country, there are between 90 to 95% unemployment, and this is a very dire situation. We are therefore into vending because we have got no option. We have to look after our families. We have to look after our mothers and our fathers who send us to school. So this is really a refugee occupation.
Do you have many university graduates or college graduates among your ranks?
We have got a platform which we recently launched as an organization called the Graduate Street Vendors Platform. This platform is a grouping of graduates, young graduates, holders of degrees. It was created after the realization that we need to be able to start to speak together as we try to engage the local authorities. Then the second reason why it was created, we want it to become a platform for training of the street vendors so that they are able to do their businesses profitably and to grow to become macro entrepreneurs and be able also even to participate in the development of the economy. But we realize that before we even start to do that, we need to capacitate our members in terms of how they do business, you know, the basic accounting, customer care, and customer service, communication, and so on and so forth. So this platform was specifically created for the graduates who are now part of the vending community. So yes, we have got quite a number of graduates who are now in the streets and who are our members. In fact, to be precise, we have got over 4,000 graduates who are part of the organization. And when we launched that program sometime back in Harare, we had a very good number of them participating and you know, developing these strategies in terms of how we can be able then to start to engage with the government, even the private sector, and the policymakers to ensure that we are involved in all these processes.
And what exactly do you deal in yourself? What do you sell?
I run a shop that specializes in jewelry. I also sell cell phone accessories.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow and leader of the Vendors Initiative for Social and Economic Transformation, Samuel Wadzai, on the line from Harare with Studio 7 reporter Ntungamile Nkomo.
The Women's Health Alliance International says it will be conducting free obstetric fistula operations in Zimbabwe in August and is asking those affected to contact them. National Program Coordinator Priscilla Mabande says the organization assisted 60 women in the last 2 months. And an obstetric fistula is an injury caused by prolonged obstructed labor. We hear more from Mabande on the issue.
Fistula Day simply means that there are women who are living with a condition called obstetric fistula. This condition is a result of prolonged labor or a difficult childbirth, resulting in a rupture of either the bladder or the rectum, or both the bladder and the rectum, and now you become incontinent of feces or urine through your vagina. For Zimbabwe, what has happened is in April and May, not just as part of the commemoration, we held an obstetric fistula repair surgery campaign and managed to assist 60 women with free surgical repairs of their bladders and their rectum, respectively.
What causes obstetric fistula and how does one know they have it?
The major causes of obstetric fistula that we have encountered so far is, first of all, the child bride. A young girl aged 13, 14, prepubescent, falls pregnant either by elopement or forced marriage, and because her body is underdeveloped, she fails to birth a full-term pregnancy and ruptures her bladder or her rectum. The other thing that we have observed is that some of these are actually malnourished women, probably in their 20s, who actually undergo the same process. And then there is the woman who is probably tied down by traditional aspects or religious aspects and fails to go to a medical center for the progression of her labor, such that she delivers at home or she goes to the hospital 3 or 4 days after the onset of labor. So the prolonged labor is usually 2-3 days going forward, and you realize that these women end up suffering these injuries as a result.
That was Priscilla Mabande, Women's Health Alliance International National Program Coordinator, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. If you wish to contact her, you can call this number, 0782-640-840. That number again, 0782-640-840.
And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners about the 1 million men march being staged by ZANU-PF youth tomorrow in Harare.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Some Zimbabweans say they are being forced by ZANU-PF members to join a million men march for President Robert Mugabe set for tomorrow. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing a